Psalm 23. We're not actually going to be displaying it. We've been on a series titled My Cup Overflows. My Cup Overflows. And I think this is the penultimate part of the series. So we should be rounding this up on Friday. So we're going to read Psalm 23. We're going to declare it together from our hearts. Praise God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Amen. We've been on this for a few weeks. And you know, Psalm 23 is a very powerful psalm, as you all know. If you didn't know before, we know that now. And so we're going to declare it together. One, two, go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good. It is good. And like I said, it's a good thing to declare that. It is the word of God. You know that the word of God in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, what they will do is that they will stand up and they will read it and declare it together. There is power in speaking the word. There is power. The Bible says his word is like medicine. Praise God. So thank God that we know the scriptures, and the children and young people among us, it is important to be able to declare it. And so we've been on this series, and we've entered the last verse, verse 6, which we began on Friday, you know. So we began the last verse on Friday, and we're going to be looking at that again. Was it verse 6? We were on verse 5 on Friday. So we did verse 5. That's, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We did that last Sunday. And on Friday, we did, you anoint my head with oil. So we've been breaking it down. That's what you do with God's word. The Bible says we should rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth. Amen. And I want to say something today, even as we come to a close of this teaching, that we have committed over 500 minutes, over 500 minutes, and that's over 8 hours in hearing about Psalm 23. Isn't that amazing? You know, because we are on the 12th part today, and each message is on average 40 minutes, isn't it? Maybe slightly more, not slightly less. So you've committed over 500 minutes to hearing the word on this topic. You've committed over 8 hours, and obviously, as the pastor, I've committed a lot more hours to studying to bring this truth to you. Why am I saying this? We're getting to the point where we see the psalmist letting us know that his goodness and his mercy shall follow him. And I want you to know today that God is a rewarder. And the time that you have committed to hearing the word, he will reward you for it. Amen. It's important that we know this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Expect a reward for the time that you give to God. Expect a reward for anything you do for the Lord. Expect a reward. That's what his word says, Hebrews 11, 16. And the book of Hebrews gives us a list of people who sought the Lord, who believed in the Lord. And it gives us not just a list of the people, it tells us what they did for God, how they trusted in God, and it tells us the rewards that they received. So here in verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want you to note that he didn't say without faith, it is challenging to please God. He didn't say without faith, it will be almost impossible. It says without faith, it is impossible. So faith is vital in our relationship with God, that we believe God, that we trust him absolutely and totally. And this is key. You know, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So when I'm serving God, I'm not just looking at what I see. I serve God from my heart, not looking at the things that are happening around me, not observing things, whether they are good or not so good, whether highs and lows, whether valleys or mountains. I'm not looking, what am I doing? I'm walking by faith, because the just shall do what? The just shall live by faith. So I'm stressing this so that you will understand that the reason we come here is to be built up in our faith. When God's word comes out, it is not a vain word. He told the children of Israel, he said, these words, this law that I'm giving you, they are not vain. They are not vanity. They are not empty words. He says, these words, they are your life and the length of your days. The word of God is so potent. It is powerful. The Bible says it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, the people that was written to, they understand what it means, because when you have a two-edged sword, that's a powerful thing. It means you can attack on any front. You can hit the things that are coming left, right, and center. But it says the word of God is sharper than it. Hallelujah. And so faith, it is to trust in the word of God, to believe in the word of God, and to believe that everything God's word says will happen. Hallelujah. And so it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, we've all come to God. Hallelujah. He who comes to God, now, what is the word? Must, not should, or try to believe. See, we must, Christianity is not something we do half-heartedly. It is not something we do and maybe you become a Christian and you're still trying to find somebody to convince you about God. Because the person who comes to God must. There is no probability when it comes to our faith with God. It is a must. And I must believe that God is, that God exists. You see, it's not in doubt. You see, God is, and God is what he says he is. Hallelujah. Remember when he met with Moses, what did Moses ask? He said, when I go to Pharaoh, who shall I tell him sent me? It's important that you know him. This is key. And this is what the word of God does for us. Now, in the book of John, was it chapter 20 or 21, where the Bible says that all of the things that Jesus did, if they were written, everything. See, the things that are recorded that we see, it's not all that Jesus did. He said, if all the things that he did were recorded in a book, he said, I suppose that not even all of the books that will cover the earth will be able to take. So Jesus did a lot more. There's a lot more that God has said. But he said, these are written. The things that are written in God's word, they've been chosen and selected by the Holy Spirit. He said, these are written that you may what? That you may believe. That you may believe. Believing is crucial to Christianity. Amen. It matters what you believe. It doesn't matter what the world is saying, what the world is believing. We don't believe the same thing with the people of the world. We believe what God says. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, these are written that you may what? That you may believe. And in believing, you will have life through his name. You will have life. Thank you, Master. So where was I? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. So Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? What does he want to know? He want to know who he is. Who is God? Who are you? How am I going to explain you to Pharaoh? Because I'm afraid of Pharaoh. I can't go to Pharaoh. But if I go in your name, there will be victory over Pharaoh. If you go in your own strength, in your own power, I was saying last Sunday, you cannot match the deceiver power for power. You can't. But if you go in the name of the Lord, hallelujah, you will have victory all the time. What did God say to him? Say to Pharaoh, I am sent you. God is not I was. God is not I am going to be. God is ever present who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where am I going? You know, we're going somewhere. I want you to understand that he says you must believe that he is, he is, he is. Remember, Jesus asked the disciples as well. I'm coming to this point about knowing who he is. You must never be in doubt who God is. You must. He is the creator of the world. He made all things. You must never be in doubt. No amount of science knowledge should dissuade it from that understanding. In the beginning was what? Was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said what? All things were made by him. All things. And there is nothing that was made without him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm still coming back to this Hebrews 11:6. Saying so, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say I am? Why is it important? It's important what you know about him. It's important who you say. He says, some say you are what? You're Elijah. You're John the Baptist. You're this. So even in the church, some people still liken Jesus to just the prophet. You know, we can allow people to convince us that he was just a good man. Jesus is more than that. And so what happened? The Bible says, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, wow. That's it. That's different now. You are not just John the Baptist. You are not just Moses or Elijah or Elisha or one of the prophets. No, he's not. He is the Son of the living God. And you know, that's one of the reasons, in fact, one of their main reasons for killing him. Because if you say you are the Son of God, you are saying that you are God. Yes, Jesus is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. See, I'm still going on Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must believe that he is. There must not be any doubt that he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. So the first thing you must believe is, number one, that he is. And then you must also believe that he is what? He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. What did he say to Abraham? He said, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So you don't just believe that God is, that's good, but it's not good enough. You see, you have to believe that he's what? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. We serve a God who is a good God. He's a good God. He rewards us. He rewards our service. The time that you've used to come here today to pay attention to his word, God rewards it. He rewards the people that clean the church. He rewards them. He rewards the people who make sure that this sound is good, who puts all the things on display. He rewards the ushers. He rewards everyone. God is a rewarder. And I'm talking about his reward today because Psalm 23, you notice that David understands that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. And so he rewards us of everything we do and all the time that we have committed to hearing the word this past few weeks, God will reward you. In the name of Jesus. Say, he is a rewarder of those who do what? Who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. You know, this morning, if you can go on our website, you can get the message that we taught in the first service in Farnham Common. Absolutely powerful. We're in a series called Diligent in Business. Diligent in Business. I will encourage you to listen to that word. Now, the word diligence is important in all of these things. See, diligence is a key parameter for receiving the rewards of God. It says he's a rewarder of not just a rewarder of everybody, he's a rewarder of those who diligently. The word diligence means they are steady, they are earnest, and they are passionate about seeking God, seeking the things of God. They are determined. Praise God. This has to be our attitude. They are not serving God half-heartedly. They are serving God with all their heart. Say, you shall love the Lord the God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your might. Mind, amen. Yes, that's very important. That's very important. All your mind, you know, you should love the Lord your God. So it's not half-hearted. That's diligence. That's diligence. Praise God. So it is important that we diligently seek him, that we don't get tired and say, oh, pastor has been on this series for too long. That's not diligence. A diligent person, even if we keep teaching the same verse for the next how many years, you know, that's what he said to them in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He said, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, in that you have ministered to the saints and you continue to do what? To minister. He said, we charge that everyone will be of the same mind and to be as what? Diligent. He uses the word diligent again. Amen. That's Hebrews chapter 6. You see, and we desire. Thank you for that scripture. You see, these people are wonderful. I didn't give them the scripture, but they got it up immediately. Wonderful. See, God will reward that. Because that's service to the people of God. I'm talking about reward this morning. That's what the Lord is putting in my heart. He will reward you. And it's important, see, the key is, see, you have to believe that he will reward you. You have to believe. You know, it's like children, if maybe you promise them something and say, if you wash all the dishes and you tidy up the house, you know, we're going out and you leave them in the house, if I come back and make the house nice and tidy, I will bring some ice cream for you or something. Will you ensure that you do that? How many people will promise their children every day and you fail to meet the promise? How many of you? No, you wouldn't. And that's why Jesus said to the people, if you being what? Evil. He was talking to the people at the time. You know how to do what? Give good gifts to your children. A parent, even if you don't have the money, you will try and do all that you can to get that thing to you. So God is a rewarder. And who does he reward? Those who diligently. Let's continue to be diligent in seeking God, in seeking his word. And we will receive abundant reward in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, diligence is key. It is the key to getting rewards from God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23, verse 6. So we've read from verse 1, Psalm 23, verse 6. We've read from the first verse. I'm not going to go over that. So in verse 6, the psalmist said, surely, say surely. See, whenever you see the word surely, what does it mean? Certainly, with certainty. With certainty. And I've said to you, you must believe this. You must believe that this is certain. Say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is what I should expect. Should expect the goodness of God and the mercy of God to follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that you notice through the Psalm 23 is a shepherdship relationship. In order for you to understand Psalm 23, you have to become like a sheep. You see, that's the only way you can understand and fully appreciate and appropriate all of these verses. So David is saying, I am sure that the goodness of God and the mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd and the sheep, we said on Friday, they are what? They are inseparable. They are inseparable. Because you are seeking God diligently. You are not just seeking his goodness. You are going after God. Then his goodness comes upon you. That's the key. You see, you are not going to God and say, God, that's what makes some people to grow weary. You will grow weary if all you are looking for is what you will get from God. Don't go for what you get from God. Go for God himself. Oh, hallelujah. It's a big difference. You see, he's following the shepherd and he's trusting the shepherd that everything the shepherd has at his disposal, all of the shepherd's blessings, they will come to me. So my longing and my heart's desire is seeking him. Praise God. And knowing that his rewards will come and become my portion in Jesus' name. So the sheep's focus is the shepherd. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know, to follow here means they will be with me. They will accompany me. Everywhere I'm going, I will see goodness. I said, I will see goodness. You need to be able to declare this. That's what the psalm says, the goodness of God. When you wake up in the morning, you're going out, the goodness of God is following you. Because you are panting after the shepherd. Your heart is panting after him. And all the things that the shepherd has, they will accompany you, they will follow you, they will go before you. In the name of Jesus, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Don't expect evil. Amen. Don't expect harm. Don't expect calamity. You know, harm and calamity, who did they come from? They come from the devil. Jesus said, the thief does not come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. So we are expecting God's goodness. Hallelujah. To follow us, to follow my children, to follow my marriage, to follow my business, to follow our church. I'm expecting it because I must believe. And that's why I use that. You must believe this. You must believe it and expect it. Hallelujah. It shall follow us. As I follow God, all of these things will follow you. In the name of Jesus. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. God is a rewarder. Some of you are due for reward. Amen. I say you are due for reward. Amen. You know, the Bible says the time to favor you has come. For all of your labor and all of your diligence, you are due for reward. And I've come to announce to you the day that you should expect it. Amen. Expect a reward from God. Those young people who have been serving God, expect a reward in your studies. Expect a reward in your business. Expect a reward in your career. Expect a reward of healing for your body. Hallelujah. Expect healing. Expect it. It's a reward from God. It's a reward from God. Thank you, Lord. You know, it is that expectation that makes you believe and makes you do what God says. Every time that Moses would go to God about the children of Israel, if they had bitter water, what will he do? He would go to God. You see, the people, what did they do? They murmured because they did not believe. In fact, they thought it was God making the water bitter. No, it's not God. God is good. Amen. It was the enemy. And, you know, we said that though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death. There are valleys in this world. There are challenges in this world. There are situations in this world. But you've got to keep your eye on who? On the shepherd. In fact, you want to stay close to the shepherd as much as possible. Let me tell you something. For me personally, I'm not one of the sheep that hang about. You know, if you hang around, you can stray away. I'm holding God's leg every day. Amen. I'm holding tight to him. The Bible says, come near to God, and he will do what? He will draw near to you. That's what you do. You keep drawing near to him. Keep spending time talking to him, worshiping him, praying to him in his word. Don't wait till something happens to you before you come to God. Stay close to him. Be diligent in loving him. Be diligent in serving him. Don't wait till something happens before you run to the house of God. No, stay close to him and he will keep you and preserve you. Hallelujah. Amen. David said, I'm with my shepherd. He's taking me through. You know, he leads me. Let's start from where he started from. Where did he start from? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a summary of the whole thing. He did, does what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. So he's gone through green pastures. And then he leads him beside still waters. He's gone through the still waters. He has restored his soul. He leads him in the paths of righteousness because of his name. Amen. Because God's name is at stake over you. His name is at stake. You see, when you have a shepherd is known by the state and the condition of his sheep. You can't say you're a good shepherd and people see your sheep, they are scattered and they are suffering and they are hungry and they are lazy and they are tired and they are famished. And you say, oh, I'm a good shepherd. No, that's not a good shepherd. A good shepherd looks after his sheep. In fact, Jesus said a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Glory to God. That's the God that we serve. Praise God. So he's gone through. So he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he said, yay, come on now. So even when you are with the shepherd, in this world, the Bible says you will have tribulations. There are challenges in this world. Challenges are not a reason to leave the shepherd. You know, being a Christian for many years, I've seen people who have come and gone when it comes to serving God. I've seen many. And they've had reasons for doing it. But those reasons are excuses. We were talking on the morning, we said in Proverbs 26, you know, he said the sluggard, because the Bible says do not become sluggish. Don't become sluggish. It means that they were not sluggish before, but they became. Say a sluggard will say there's a lion on the street. Is there a lion on the street? Did you see a lion when you were coming in? Oh, nobody. You see, the sluggard didn't come to church because there's a lion on the street. How come everybody is walking about the streets and the lion is not touching them? He's just saying that the sluggard has excuses. A diligent person doesn't give excuses. Don't give excuses for not going to school. Amen? Do you know there are many things you can learn today? You have opportunity to learn. So if I'm ignorant in any area, there are things I can learn. Amen? Amen. Tell somebody you have no excuse. That's a bonus. If you want to know about medicine, you can learn it. Amen? If it's something you fancy. There's no excuse. So it says, yea, though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death. Even if there are challenges around me, there are situations, you know, even if, you know, things are not going well with my health, with whatever, with my studies and anything, it says, I will fear no evil. Why will you not fear any evil? Because you are with me. You see, what he's saying is that I'm staying close to the shepherd. I'm not straying away. I'm not going away. Don't let anything take you away from the house of God. Don't let anything take you away from the presence of God, because that's where your reward is. Reward, reward. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's great things happening to him because he's with the Lord. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want you to say it. Say it like you mean it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. That one. We're going to go to and I will dwell in the house of the Lord on Friday. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow my family all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow our church and everybody in our church all the days of their lives. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. We will have goodness and we will have the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Mercy is when you do something that you shouldn't have done, when you get it wrong. Oh, can anyone testify that we do get it wrong from time to time? Do we need mercy? That's why it says you come, how? Boldly, not timidly, because you're a sheep and your shepherd cares more about you than you care about yourself. Come boldly before what? The throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and help in the time of need. You see, in the time of need, there's a time that you will need help. In fact, I need help all the time. Amen. Glory. So David knows this. That's why David, he said, don't give me to people to judge me. God, you do the judging, because I know that you are what? You're a merciful God. It's a merciful God. Why? What does David know? He believes. He knows God. He knows who God is. He's merciful. He's kind. He's good. Thank you, Master. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You are not here by accident. God brought you to Living Word. God brought you here today. Those who are in church this morning, you're not here by accident. You're here because God loves you and he wants to let you know that he is going to reward you. He's going to reward you. You have seen your labor. He has seen all your effort. People listening online or anyone that will watch this service after this, you're watching it because God has earmarked you for rewards in the name of Jesus. Psalm 119. He says, you are good. Does this look like somebody who knows who God is? He said, you are good. And what happens? You do good. God is good. You see, what's the point in being good and not doing good? The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And he went about doing what? Doing good, doing good, doing good. He says, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Now, I want you to pause and think about this. If you say God is good and he does good, what will be the next thing that will come out of your mouth? God, bring the good to me now. No, he said, teach me your statutes. That is, as long as I stay in your word, all of that good that you do will follow me. So the whole point is about desiring God. Because if you desire God and you go after him and after his word, all his goodness will come to you. He will accompany you. You will be fully surrounded by the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Says you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Look at the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, you are good and do what? Only good. Make me do what? Follow your lead. Can you see that now? So if I'm following your lead, this is the shepherd and the sheep, as long as I'm following you, because you are good and you do good, all of your goodness will go with me. Hallelujah. And I want to commend you for continuing to follow God, continuing to be faithful. Many of you have been seeing your faces. You've been coming. The Lord is going to reward you today in Jesus' name. Expect that reward. Maybe what you're expecting is healing in any part of your body. Expect it today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, healing, the Bible says, is the children's bread. Children's bread. Amen. It is normal food for you to be healed, and you are healed in Jesus' name. If you're expecting a breakthrough financially, expect it in the name of Jesus. It is your portion. It is yours. Healing, prosperity, joy, peace, success in any endeavor that you're doing. Say, whatever you lay your hands to do, what will happen? It shall prosper. It shall prosper. That's the word of God. And it's your portion today in Jesus' name. Living Bible says, you are good and do only good. Make me follow. Follow, you see. I follow God and his blessings do what? They follow me. So my eye is upon the Lord. You've got to stay focused on God. Hallelujah. Never grow weary of following God. He is a leader. He says, my sheep do what? They hear my voice and they follow. He said, the voice of another, they will not follow. You need to continue to listen for God's word. It will prevent you from danger. It will prevent you from harm. It will prevent you from all of the evil that is going on in the world, and you are able to enjoy all of the benefits. As we read Psalm 23, I want you to see that it's not just something to quote. It is something to look at and to understand and personalize like David. David stuck close to God. He never let go of God. You know, every time that he faced any challenge, he ran back to God. In fact, when he made an error and the priest, the prophet, told him what he had done, immediately he went to God. The prophet said, you are the man. You've done something wrong. He didn't run away from God. He went to God straight away. Hallelujah. Never depart from the shepherd. All of your reward and benefits, they are with your shepherd. Hallelujah. He said, teach me your statutes. Look at the Message translation. The Message translation says, you are good and you are the source of good. God is the source of good. Train me in your goodness. Hallelujah. You know, train me. Wow. You know, some people, you know, sometimes we want things, but we don't want to be trained. We don't want training. We don't want teaching. It's important that you dedicate yourself, be diligent to receive the word of God, to take in the word of God. And, you know, even more so in the days that we're living in, because there's a lot of messages going on in the world. There's a lot of, you know, contradiction to God's truth that is going on. If you are not learned and trained in God's word, you'll be easily deceived. You'll be easily swept ashore, you know, from the river of God's goodness. Because there's so much going on. People are believing many things. Hallelujah. Don't commit too much time to Netflix that you commit to the work of God. Amen. I didn't hear a big amen to that. Amen. People say, I don't have time. I don't have time. We want to do this. I don't have time. To pray with good prayer meeting. I don't have time. Bible study on Friday. We don't have time. But then they will sit before Netflix and binge on it. Amen. They have time for Netflix. They have time for YouTube. Amen. I'm not saying don't do Netflix, but make sure you don't come and give excuse to God. You've got to seek him. He's got to be the one. See, you know, as a pastor, you know, I've heard many excuses. And when people give excuses, I just look in their eye. It's all excuses. Amen. See, Pastor, you don't know what my condition, you know. I know people who are seated whose situations are tougher than yours, and they are here serving God. I was saying this morning how Paul, Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked for this gospel. He was given lashes on his back, a grown man. A man who had a prestige and honor in society. He left all of the prestige for the sake of Christ. He said, I count everything as dung. You know what dung is? He said, all of my qualifications and everything I have, because I want to seek the Lord and preach his word, I count it as rubbish for the sake of Christ. You know, a grown man, they put him in a basket and tipped him down. Because everywhere he went, people were coming against him, riots. They were causing riots to stop him from preaching this gospel. And we have this gospel. We have it so cool. You have your Bible on your phone, your iPhone, your Samsung. You have it on your, what's it called? on your pad, you even have it on your TV. But you switch all the channels that have to do with God. And you go to Hollywood and Nollywood and Bollywood. And you get excited. Amen. He says you are the source, you see. You must never disconnect from the source. He's the source. He's the one who gives you life to watch Netflix. Amen. Be diligent and you will receive your reward. I said you will receive your reward in the name of Jesus. Say, train me, train me, train me in your goodness. Exodus chapter 33, and then we'll be closing. Thank you, Master. Look at Moses. Let's look at Moses, what Moses said. We know this account of Moses. Let's start it from verse 12. Start from verse 12. Can you take it from verse 12? Hallelujah. If you have verse 12, read it. Okay, thank you very much. See, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people. And I want you to notice the shepherdship relationship that Moses had with God. You see, the Psalm 23 was written afterwards, but it's always applied to people who related with God, with their heart. Abraham had that shepherdship relationship with God. So Moses said, you've said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you would do what? You will send with me. You know, Moses recognizes, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it in my own power. There's nothing in this world that I can do of my own strength. Many times, you know what we do? We do this after we are knackered. We use our strength first. Your children want to start school. Instead of committing them to God, you know what you do? You do all of the things that you know. You ask your friends, what did you do when your child was going to school? Yeah, you do everything. You don't commit it to God first. You don't commit that child to God first. You do everything else. And then when something goes, I say, God, what shall I do? No, today you're going to ask him first. Amen. He said, you said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Next verse. Yet you have said, I know you by name. What do we know? The shepherd knows you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. Next verse. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. Show me your way. That's key. That's important. That I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Keep going. And consider that this nation is your, we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are your sheep. You are the shepherd. We are not in charge. We are not in control. Even I, Moses, even though you've called me to take the people, I'm not in charge. I need to follow you so that I will know the way. Hallelujah. Next verse. And he said, my presence. Say, my presence. My presence will go with you. You see now, it is the presence of the shepherd that you must seek every day. My presence will go with you. Don't look for anything else. Look for God. Pursue God. He says, and I will give you rest. Can you see Psalm 23 here? Can you see Psalm 23 here? My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will restore your soul. Amen. I will give you rest. Regardless of what is going on around you, you can stay focused on me, and you will have rest. Next verse. Next verse. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, what does Moses need the most? The presence of God. Because in his presence is everything you need. Don't pursue things, pursue God. Jesus said that you should seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness and all these things shall be added. Don't go for the things that are to be added. You know, what people do is they seek things and they want God to be added to it. That's not the way it works. Glory to God. You seek God and things will be added to you. And you know, when you seek things, you will tire out. That's one thing you find in the world. I know people who have made it in terms of physical, material things. They've made it. You know, they've come to, and thank God that some of them, they've come to the realization that it's time to face God. Because all of those things they've led them to emptiness. In fact, that's what the Bible says, vanity of all vanities, all is what? All is vanity. Vanity means emptiness. It's all air. It's like air. They pursue things and you try to catch it. You can't catch it. It's like air. Then you find out, oh, you're 50, 60, 70. Oh, what happened? I've caught nothing. But when you seek God, he says, goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow you. You say, my presence does not go with us. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from. We're not moving. If your presence doesn't go with us. Go next verse, verse 16. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you do what? You go with us, the shepherd. So we shall be separate from your people and I. I say we shall be separate, your people and I, from all, keep going, all the people and from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. What will make the difference? Your presence. Your presence. It will make a difference. That will separate us from everybody else. Hallelujah. Wherever we are, people will see your presence. And guess what that presence does? The goodness and mercy shall follow. Keep going. Next verse. So the Lord said to Moses, because he has sought the presence of God, look at what God said to him. I will do what? Also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found what? Grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, keep going. Keep going. And he said, please show me your glory. Next verse. Then he said, I will make all what? All my goodness. All my goodness. Are you ready for the goodness of God? All my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Did you see goodness and mercy here? Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life in the name of Jesus. The goodness of God will be upon your home, upon your family, upon your vocation, upon your career, upon your aspirations. All of the young people who are returning to school and returning to university, the goodness of God will go with you. The goodness and the mercy of God will accompany you in the name of Jesus. Those who are going into business or you're returning to your business, the goodness of God will go with you. In the name of Jesus, those who are desiring a change in their homes and in their families, I speak the goodness of God upon you right now. In the name of Jesus, where you need mercy, the mercy of God is resting upon you right now. It is well with you. The goodness of God, the healing power of God is flowing in your life. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.